Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your Ring of Honor and TNA post-show. I'm still getting used to saying it. That's the most fluid I've gone from the non-impact to the TNA letters since the switch back. But it is February 15th already. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a lot of ROH to talk about tonight. Some really good stuff on the show. The women's tournament kicked off, which is a big one. The return of Kenny King to this brand was a very heartwarming thing. Love to see that. And a whole lot going on in TNA world as well. We ask you to get in your super chats if there's anything that you want to ask about, anything that you want to comment on as we go through this episode, and to please leave a thumbs up as we are the little show that could over here on ROH TNA world. But your guys' support has been incredible. The fact that this usually runs between 1,500 and 2,000 views, upwards of that on really big weeks is so cool to me, because I don't even know if there's that many people subscribed to watch ROH, to be honest. So when you guys show out, it's something that we really, really appreciate. We're also going to ask you off the bat to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. And I do want to keep clarifying, as I have been on most post shows, that things like injuries, like we saw to Shotzi Blackheart, things like the scandal, there is a free tier that you can subscribe to on Fightful Select. We try not to paywall things that feel icky to paywall whenever we can. You'll often get supplementary details to those injuries or those stories behind the paywall. You'll get a little bit more context and more additional information. But for like being able to follow something that is so much bigger than wrestling or things that are more than creative or contracts and stuff like that, we do try to make it as accessible as possible for people. But for $5 in the business, my God, you do get a hell of a value back there. All the scoops you could possibly get, contextual details for scoops that other people break as well. Sean goes really far out of his way to get as many perspectives on things as possible as he can and to verify that things are correct, something that's becoming increasingly important in this world. Plus a bunch of bonus podcasts to get Sean's Q&A. You get me and Alex Pawlowski doing alternative pay-per-view post shows, and every other week, you get Ask Rhapsody, which Reg got to do today. And we were talking before we got on here about how refreshing it was this week to not have like a scandal or a giant executive shakeup at another company or anything like that kind of clouding. And we were able to get back to grabs a little bit, though those stories are being followed very closely by Sean and actively worked on. But for us on the podcasting side, it was refreshing to kind of have something a little different, a little bit more of a palate cleanser. But how was Ask Rhapsody today? What'd you guys talk about?
It was a pretty good show today. 90% of the questions were, are if Swerve's going to win the championship at Revolution. Like, legit, we'd say, they'd be like, is Swerve going to win? Then we answer another question, then the next question. What do you guys think about Swerve winning at Revolution? Like, everybody's super duper interested in the finale to this triple threat match. And I'm along for the ride. I'm stuck in between. It's Swerve time, as we could see. Kate, like, he's over like Rover. Fans are into it. All the pieces are there. But Samoa Joe, oh my goodness,
is he not doing incredible work?
yo, like he, since he, before he was world champ, but since he's been world champ, he's been so locked in. He's been, the promos have been extra, his clothing, like he's a world champ. And so it's like, I don't know if it's time to give it up yet. It's like, it's stuck between a really good place. Like you either continue Samoa Joe's great run or you get a swerve run. So, I mean, I'm in all the way.
You know, I said this on the Mark Order podcast yesterday. To me, I'm just such a fan of Samoa Joe. And I feel like there's never going to be a good time for him to drop to me because I'm always going to be interested in the work he has to do as a world champion. I also think this being a triple threat, there's a very interesting possibility of Swerve comes out as champion and you get this side Hangman Samoa Joe feud out of it could be something that's really fun. Like Samoa Joe versus Hangman isn't something I knew I needed. And then when I was thinking about all the possibilities in this triple threat, I was like, oh man, them going at it could just be a blast, especially with Magnum mustache heelish Hangman going at it. So that's fun. I'm glad you got a lot of questions about that on Ask Rhapsody. It's a very refreshed title picture. I loved a lot of what MJF did, but turning the page on it has been a really refreshing thing. But we're not here to talk AEW. We're here to talk some Ring of Honor, and we are going to get into it. We do want to thank Corey Mitchell for becoming a new member on YouTube. We thank you so much for the extra support and appreciate anybody that wants to support us in any of the plethora of ways I asked you to at the beginning of the show. But we get right into our women's tournament here, which was a blast. Now I'm going to run down the bracket and then we'll talk about the matches that we saw tonight as well, which I saved on my phone and not on my computer because I'm an idiot. Give me one second here. Mm-hmm. But tonight we started the show with Queen Aminata and J-Rod. We have Velvet versus Moon. We have Love versus Taya Valkyrie. We have Rachel Elring versus Layla Hirsch, which we also got tonight. Hogan versus Diamante that we got tonight. Billy Starks versus Robin Renegade, which we're getting next week. Mercedes Martinez versus Trish Adora. We're going to talk about that one. Viva Vaughn versus Abaddon, which I think is going to be super, super fun. So what I love about this tournament, before we get into the specific matches, Reg, is that we have a couple of people that feel like that they can take this title realistically. Like to me right now, it feels like Queen Aminata, just from the backstage we got, the role that she's on. But it could very easily be Billy Starks. It could very easily be Diamante. Like there's a lot of really fun directions this can go. And to me, that makes the tournament more exciting because I'm not already doing the elimination math in my head as easily. What are your thoughts on who you think might prevail as the winner in this?
I think what they're setting up with Queen Aminata is like hard to kind of deny the trajectory she's on. I was super duper happy to see Sandra Moon on here. She is an incredibly talented woman. She's had one of my favorite women's wrestling matches of the year so far at the last West Coast Pro Show. So it's great to see a couple of those pieces, her, Viva Van, Robin Renegade. Some people in here that they're probably not going to win, but great to see them represented. But yeah, just like you said, there's so many contenders on here. Mercedes, Aminata, Diamante, like any one of them could be like the winner of this and it'll all be good. And the thing that I like about it the most is a couple of these women, like Athena, like beat them, so they didn't feel like contenders or they were going to be in that division anymore, so they're kind of refreshed over here. It just feels good all around. This was a refreshing episode for women's wrestling, specifically in that championship.
Boy, was it. And the main event was like so intense and fun. I can't wait to talk about it. But we have some matches to get to before we do that. Starting off with Queen Aminata versus J-Rod, who looked great in this. I love how we got this consistent thing that everybody was pretty evenly matched until they weren't in some of these ones that you had with like less familiar names. And that was the case here. Early, you have Aminata getting a near fall, but then it's kind of even. With some strikes being traded and some moves being traded. And then J-Rod goes for a quick pin off of a suplex. And then the push-ups happen, Reg. And Aminata is pissed. Yes. I love her presence, her facial reactions, the command that she has when she's pissed off. My God. She was very insulted by this and she retaliates with some strikes here. But winning with the headbutt into the pin to advance in the tournament, I loved how there's not really a story here. And then all of a sudden the push-ups happen and there was a story here. And the story was you pissed off Queen Amanada, and that's really bad for you. It's like you're going to get hit with a headbutt bad for you. Love this as an opener. Love what we're getting out of Queen Amanada since her return. And tons of reps. We saw her on Rampage and Collision and I think Dynamite as well. So she's been all over the place. Absolutely adore seeing this. Gonna let you take the wheel while I plug in my charger.
Yes, I think the coolest thing I like about this is exactly what you said earlier about there being so many contenders. The match wasn't a squash, and it was kind of the story throughout the whole episode. It's like none of these matches were squashes. All of these women look like contenders, even the ones that are losing. Like J-Rob looked great here. Like she didn't get beat up. Like she kept up with Amanada between a whole lot of this. And she just looked like she was comfortable and was supposed to be there. But Amanada's on this trajectory that like it's going to take a train, a missile, a grenade to stop her from winning this championship. And her just being like, do not disrespect me in this ring is just so good. She's so confident and hard hitting, and just her aura is crazy. It's like there's not a lot of wrestlers that are like her, and she kind of being one of the main players to get this championship is showing a lot. And her being on every episode of AEW Dynamite or AEW shows that somebody up there likes her a lot.
Yeah, and with good reason. She's fantastic in the ring. She's one of the most, when we talk about things like character versus gimmick, she is one of the most in command of her character. I would say Toni Storm is the most in command of her character slash gimmick, because she's like in this really insane happy medium with it. But from just the understanding the intention of every move she makes in the ring, Queen Amanada is just unbelievable at it. Different. Love to see it. We also get a backstage from her, which we haven't gotten from a lot of other people, which I feel like kind of tips the hand of the booking a little bit, but just talking about what it means to represent Africa, and she didn't come all this way to be made a fool out of. She's the queen. It is her ring. It is her tournament. Absolutely loved what we got out of that backstage as well. If you have any extra comments on it, it was pretty precise, but effective, I thought.
Yeah, I was hoping that maybe we'll get some online, but it'll be more like the Continental Classic where all the winners just kind of got their thing off. So it doesn't feel like it's telegraphed. It's that like if only one or two people are doing these promos, it's going to feel like something. But if everybody's doing them, then it feels like that's what the tournament is holding on. But yeah, her getting even more time like that to express herself, talking about the silver is going to look great on her. It's all just more things that are going to get people to get behind her in this tournament. And I was looking on Twitter after her match and when this tournament has been announced, and a lot of people think that she's going to win this.
Agreed. And I think what was cool tonight is we haven't really gotten a lot of promos from her or backstages from her. So to get her just for a couple minutes to kind of speak here, I thought was a really great idea and effective thing to do. The work speaks for itself. She does not need an overwhelming amount of promo time, but it is very cool to see her speak in this. I was happy that they gave her the time to do that. And J-Rod looked great here in her debut as well. Yeah. Just an ass kicker and like a great look to her. My goodness. Like
really, she looks good, like look. She's tall, like presence. Like she's she should be brought back strong. Yeah.
Ricochet abs, like she's killing it. She looks fantastic. And just like someone you can kind of immediately know what they're about as soon as you see them, which I think is something that's a lot trickier to accomplish in wrestling than a lot of people think. So hope that she comes back around because she's fantastic. So we move on here to the infantry, Sean Dean and Carly Bravo, who defeat Midnight Heat, Ricky Gibson, and Eddie Pearl. This was a fun match. The crowd was kind of dead for it, which makes no sense because the infantry are great. And even after the match, you had Carly Bravo just literally spinning all the way to the back, trying to wake this crowd up for something. But such is the case with these ROH tapings. It's a real up and down crowd situation, and there's not always so much you can do about it as a performer. But you have the infantry here with some double team moves, cutting off Midnight Heat from each other when they're reaching in for that tag. And then finally we get Dean and Bravo with the opening for the boot camp to get the win. This is a good match. And what follows up later makes a little bit more sense for this match, I would say. Yeah. There was a really, really fun promo that takes place later in the show. But this, I was like, oh, this was solid. This was good stuff. And then when I saw what we got later, I was like, I see where we're going with this a little bit. But no complaints, nothing particularly outstanding. Always love seeing the infantry in action. Wasn't as familiar with Midnight Heat. I think I'd seen them maybe on AEW Dark a time or two, but nice to see them getting an appearance here as well. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about this match was that at the end of it, Caprice was like, this is all great. I love the infantry. I just want to see them get more wins. Kind of echoing the same things we say on this podcast of like, you guys are amazing. We love the infantry, all three of y'all, but we just want to see you rack up more wins. So seeing them get a win here was cool. They're out there shining. They get to show exactly who the infantry was. The Midnight Heat kind of having a flavor of the Outrunners playing into what was to come later too was really cool. But I think just Sean and Carly gaining confidence every week, being put in positions like this is great. But just like Capri said, more wins, you guys, more wins.
We're going to have a little talk real quick, okay? Because I would like Carly Bravo and Sean Dean to get some wins. I mean, the most successful world champ of all time, and Sean Dean has two wins against him and zero losses, I'm just saying. Yeah. But we're going to talk about Trish Adora in a minute, and ROH... You're in trouble. You're in trouble with me. I'm sending you're grounded for 2 weeks. No TV for you.
I need the beep, 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 like censored button right now sound effects because it's going to get bad when that comes
up. It's going to get really bad. But I'm letting you know that punishment is coming because I was legit angry. But before I was legit angry, I was legit excited about legit Layla and Rachel Ellring, who have had this frenemy relationship. They're finally friends and on the same page. And we get this match, which I love the way that they booked the friendship with tension story and this. Surprise, Kate loves technical wrestling. I know that's a shock.
Wow. I know. We are all so surprised.
Huge scoop. Stole it right from Sean. I love technical wrestling, but matches like this are exactly why I love what we got out of Layla Hirsch and Rachel Ellring, because it's very easy to look at them and say, Layla Hirsch comes up to Rachel Ellring's hip. Like, how in the hell is someone supposed to beat somebody like that? But if you have an arm bar and somebody's on the ground, it's actually pretty easy to get there. I loved it. What an absolute equalizer technical wrestling is when it's done right. Everybody's got an arm. Anybody's got a limb that you can break here, right? And that's exactly where Layla Hirsch's head was, I felt like, during this. So we have this injury spot in the middle of the match where Layla Hirsch goes to lock in that armbar on Rachel Ellring in a really, really well done job. I felt like one of the more realistic injury looking spots by Rachel Ellring selling this dislocation thing. They have Doc come and pop it back in, and she says that she can continue. She takes the arm brace off to sell that it's like swelling and everything. Absolutely loved what we got here. But with that injury, we have Ellring trying to get Hirsch in the finish it, but tricked Hirsch as she got close to the two count. Hirsch gets mad about this and works over Ellring until she gets the 1, 2, 3. So just a lot of really, really fun story in this, not only with the injury happening, but Layla Hirsch continuing to just decidedly hurt her friend because she was pissed off about the way that Ellring went about business. Turnabout's fair play, I guess. But I just loved how this match was laid out. And then the promo that we get backstage after is just Rachel Ellring dejected about the loss and Hirsch showing up and apologizing about the injury. That's not how she wanted to win. They're on the same page here. But I just love, love, love the layers that unfolded through the lens of technical wrestling in this. I thought it was a brilliant way to go about business here. What did you think of this match in the promo after?
When you were describing Layla Hirsch earlier, an idea popped into my brain. Layla Hirsch, Deonna Purrazzo, and Serena Deeb as a team. Just book it already. Just make them the faction. They're destroying everybody in the world. Everybody's arms are getting ripped off. I love that with how many matches we got today in the women's tournament, how different they all were. And this one was totally different. They picked limb work, which I thought was a great idea. Them kind of stopping the match to sell, give Rachel Ellring some more sympathy from the fans, give them from the viewers at home of like, should she still be in this match? Showing Layla Hirsch that even if this is my friend, I'm still a killer. I want that championship. There's nothing in the world that's going to stop me from this championship. And you can put my friend first. You can put my friend last. I'm going to rip her arm off on the way to this championship. Storytelling, Kate. They say that matches aren't stories, but look what we got here. Who would have imagined? Layla Hirsch's moonsault also was awesome. She hit that.
Yes.
I thought this match was really good from a technical standpoint, a strike standpoint, selling standpoint. Really strong stuff from both of these women.
The Tekker fans eating well in 2024, including in women's wrestling, which is pretty cool to say. You mentioned Deonna before, Serena Deeback, but this I love, 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 especially in an environment like ROH where the in-ring can be the story. Oh, yep. Just aces all around. Absolutely adored it. And to your point, all of these matches did feel different. If you ask me what I thought the best match of the night was, it was probably the main event. If you ask me what my favorite match of the night was, it was probably this. And I love that sometimes we get something that's just overwhelmingly the most awesome thing on the show. This had a lot of different options to kind of pick from because the stakes were equal in four of the matches. So it's it's a pretty cool little episode to pick through here. Well, backstage, we have Nyla Rose giving a promo. And if you were like, hey, what are the different pieces of her outfit? She's got you covered. Her hat says hat. Her shirt says shirt. Yep. This is a whole bunch of fun. I thought there was like a cool pop culture thing I wasn't up on because I am like, I shop at Macy's or whatever the fuck. So I didn't even, but no, this is just her being extremely silly. I loved it. I absolutely adored it. But she's giving a promo asking where Athena is because she's been dodging her all this time. And here comes Athena with payback from last week, hitting her with the table, and then Rose lifting her up like that. I don't know what the meme is even from, but like the bigger gal lifting up the littler gal. I mean, it's really cool to see.
I know this why one. You don't know where it's from.
Is it from Pornhub or something? I figured as much. It had that vibe, but it also felt maybe a little bit more wholesome than that, like in a little bit of voice.
It so started out wholesome.
You know what? Fair. Very fair. Touche. But later, we have Athena cutting a promo about how Nyla has knocked her on her ass and how she's tired of it. I loved this promo from her. Her saying, like, everybody else she's been able to basically control and beat up, essentially. But every time she stumbles across Nyla, she's just getting her ass kicked. And she is in this position where she's the one who can't back down now. We've seen her go from extremely dominant to kind of dodging Nyla a little bit. And also, anytime she does come across Nyla, having to pay the consequences for it. So it feels very much like we're headed in an Athena baby turn direction, or at least a tweener. But I just love how different this feud has felt because someone bigger and stronger, and now she's questioning maybe better than her, is involved in this. Adore this, and I love the way the story is laid out. We'll save the final segment between the two of them for later, but what did you think of these pieces of the story tonight?
Yeah, I love the backstage segment with Nyla with all of her gear that says what the gear is. Amazing way to start. Athena coming in, the beatdown, I thought all of it was really strong. I love that story that you're saying here of Nyla kind of coming and beating Athena at her own game. Like, she's the funny slash dominating slash get you in the shape, but also is really endearing and trying to teach you something, but will also bash your head in. Like, she's doing all the things that Athena's kind of known for and kind of outdoing her. And Athena's like, well, what's going on here? Like, I don't really, it seems like she's like, whoa, this is a blur. Like, I don't really understand why this is happening so fast. I love for the last couple of weeks that they've been the string throughout all the Ring of Honor episodes. It was the same way here of like their backstage segments were like the glue kind of holding this episode together. Really strong stuff from Athena with the promo too, of showing some sympathy, showing that she's not the angry person that she's been. She's in a weird position of kind of wanting to be the minion leader, but also having to try to get Nyla off of her back. Great stories being told. Could Nyla win this championship, Kate? What do you think?
Man, I've been thinking about that a little bit, and I feel like the fact that I'm even wondering shows how great of a job they've done with this story. Because in the beginning, I was like, it'll be a fun defense for Athena. Like, immediately hadn't really considered it. And now I'm kind of wondering, I do feel like, I don't know, Nyla Rose hadn't really been doing much in AEW, so maybe this is a great home for her. But from just like a brand personality perspective, it feels maybe more like some of those contenders that are in the TV title picture maybe match up here. I still think maybe if Billy doesn't win the TV title, she wants to come back for it because she lost her chance at the other championship. So maybe Billy's more ready this time. So it doesn't necessarily feel, there's no reason that it doesn't feel like she couldn't rather. But it also, I don't feel like if the payoff for this incredible reign is Nyla Rose. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this question that you posed?
You know, it's tough because depending on what they're going to do with Athena, we still, that was one of the questions earlier in Ask Rhapsody too, of like, are they going to move Athena up with all these women coming in to the main roster that she could have amazing matches and all these things with, like, is it time? And it's like, yeah, it's been time for a long time. So it's like, if they're going to move her up, Nyla might be a good transition. But like you said, a couple of the women in the TV title tournament, I think would be like, if Aminata lost the title tournament, but ended up beating Athena, like that would probably hit a little bit harder than her even winning the TV title. So there's things like that, but it's like, also it's Nyla. She's kind of been killing it. She's shown that if she was one of the faces of this ROH brand, that it'd be entertaining and we'd have a lot to look forward to. So it wouldn't be the worst, but yeah, we might be in that, a couple of people are saying in the chat, of that Athena territory of putting someone over, and you're not really putting Nyla over. She's already over.
That's the thing, is she doesn't necessarily need to get made by it. Like, this title reign has been a, I can make a star with whoever I drop it to kind of thing. And I don't think Nyla needs it, but I'm really liking the story we're getting here. So I don't think I would be mad about it. Now, this is an interesting point too. Travis Lindsay saying if Camille does sign, ROH might be a better fit for her. I've been thinking about that too. Camille versus this particular roster, I think could be really great. And she is someone coming over from NWA world, very, very different environment than AEW. Now, there's a lot of people that have done so really well. Eddie Kingston, Ricky Starks, Thunder Rosa. There's an endless list of people. When I tell people NWA used to actually be good, and I name those names, they're like, wait, really? And I say,
don't believe it.
People don't believe me. People don't believe me, but Ricky Starks, I feel like, was the steal of the century from NWA. Definitely. But I think ROH could be a really cool place for her. It just depends what they want to do. She's such a unique talent that I feel like there might be some good ways to kind of acclimate her a little bit in ROH. And I just have such an interest in seeing her versus Rachel Elring, her versus Layla Hirsch, her versus Queen Aminata, her versus Taya. Like, there's a lot of women that I personally want to see the feuds of. But it depends on what their plans are. If it feels like she's a big incoming free agent, maybe you want to kind of put her on the AEW brand. But it'll be interesting. Where do you think Camille lines up?
That's a great point that is being brought up here, because I kind of thought she might have fit well in this ROH TV title tournament because of exactly what you're saying. She lines up so well with a lot of these women. Would have been a kind of great way to introduce her because, like you said, a lot of people don't know this amazing feat that she did over in NWA because they didn't watch that. They couldn't access it. NWA is NWA. So there's all these reasons that she's going to come in with the, she's going to come in way different than like Deonna and Taya came in, because they both came off Impact Wrestling, which people actually watch sometimes. So it's like they have to find a way to introduce her. And I thought that this would be a great way, but she's such a like brooding big presence that it's not really going to matter. Just put her on TV and people are going to be like, oh shit, who's that? You know what I mean? Like, she's one of those kind of special talents that there's ways to make it work in any direction. So, but yeah, I thought she might've been part of this tournament, but she's going to come in and be a force and on any roster that she's in for any of those championships, just because, like I said, her presence and everything she kind of represents.
Agreed. I wouldn't hate the idea of, and I don't want to get into vignette talk, because we know where that can go. But she's someone that, because she was on a lesser known brand and because of her stature and presence, like, she might be someone that's worth putting together like a couple weeks or one longer vignette of like, hey, this is who this person is. It's a big deal that she's here. This is what she accomplished in NWA, because she had that title for over 500 days, I think. Like,
yeah,
crazy stuff. So I think it would be worth doing that from a crowd that, as I feel like, hip to wrestling as AEW and ROH crowds are, this might be something that is helpful.
800 days, Matthew Hook says. That's a lot. That's a long time.
My goodness. Was it really 800? Tells you how much, tells you how much I know about my NWA, but good stuff. You know what I'm realizing as I'm going down this list of matches? There's like two men's singles matches on here, and it's really cool that we're talking so much about women's wrestling, like very organically and without it being like a, oh my God, women's wrestling. Like, that's just where this program's at. This might be the most
lopsided main wrestling type of program that's ever happened, with like more women's matches than men's matches. That's rare. Besides like all women's promotions, like this doesn't happen. This is really cool that this is just normal. We're about to, the main event was a women's match, and it's not like some milestone. It's just like, yeah, that's what Ring of Honor does. It's so cool.
It is. I will give credit to NXT for that too. I don't like the way that they go about the booking of their women's division, but the screen time is almost 50-50. Very cool to see that showing up here on Thursday nights. And tonight was actually very heavily female dominated, as far as singles matches in particular go, and those matches having some stakes. Not a lot of championships, but I'm going to not complain about that because I'm in a good mood. But we get a men's tag match here. A lot of fun to be had with the Outrunners and Lights, Camera, Faction, Ice Williams and Action Braxton. The Outrunners start by giving the Code of Honor to themselves, a very old school heel move. Absolutely loved that. Outrunners with their 80s shenanigans finish this, is where the story of this match is that they hit the boot camp, the infantry's finisher, for the win. Very 80s style match, but this leads to the backstage with Lexi Nair and the infantry, and Moriarty arrives and says that the Outrunners stole their finisher and that he's been watching them for like 37 years and they've never used it before. He makes a reference to the Sportatorium, which popped me huge. This was such a fun way to go about business. The infantry just feels so different than the Outrunners in every possible way. Like, they feel so fresh and hip and modern to me, and just really, really like modern day cool. And the Outrunners, such an 80s throwback. This was an absolute, absolute blast. I love the promos that we're getting here. I would love some infantry wins, but this was a blast. Your thoughts on the match in the backstage that we got?
You know, Kate, it's been a couple weeks now. I was on the Twitter account, very upset at a match.
Sorry to
with,
hear that. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just thought you meant being on Twitter in general.
Yeah, but in general. I was very upset about a match with the Young Hook, where he beat up two guys and squashed them in a match. And then a week later, those same two guys got beat up by Brian Cage in a handicap match. And I was like, why in the world are you putting an established tag team in squash matches like this? And everybody's like, that's not what they are. They're dumb. Nobody cares. They never get wins. Who cares about the Outrunners? And I'm like, none of you guys watch Ring of Honor, first of all. And second of all, they're never going to be, if you do them like this, what are you doing? So they announced yesterday, they put out this graphic, the Outrunners are going to be on Ring of Honor. I'm like, why are they emphasizing them? I hate them. You told me to hate them 2 weeks ago. Why are you doing this to me? So this whole Outrunners thing, I was out on it until Lee Moriarty confronted the infantry. And then I was all the way back in, because that shit was hilarious. I don't know why they're doing this feud with them taking their finisher, but they got me right back in. I was like, actually, I understand what they're doing. It's a mini feud on Ring of Honor, and I'm all in. I just don't want the established tag teams like the Outrunners, because they really can be something if given the chance, and they shouldn't be in squash matches. But that's another story for another day. I love them here. I love them going with the old school thing, saying they've been doing this move for a long time. They're in the Iron Claw, not the movie, the original Iron Claw with the Von Erich boys. So, good stuff.
Very clever. You know what? The only thing that I have to take objection to with that, Reg, is that it's not another story for another day. It's a story for today because I'm sick of the AEW roster making chumps out of ROH tag teams. They did it with Vincent and Dush with MJF. They've done it several times. And people that work in wrestling podcasting that I know, Alex Pulaski, call them the job jobbers because that's what they are in AEW. And it's not fair to have them reduced to that, I don't think myself. So it's not a different story for another day. It's a story for right now because I like the Outrunners and I'm sick of having to tell people that they're really good. Be nice.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But
shame.
Something that was nice to talk about here was Brian Keith and Slice Boogie. It was so nice to see Kenny King and Slice Boogie back tonight. How fun was this? We get a really fun piece of storytelling from Slice Boogie where, like, Brian Keith's just entrance in his gunslinger outfit kind of intimidated Slice Boogie off the top. Like, that is some veteran stuff right there, honest to God. Like, that really, really is. If it's, like, someone's presence just makes you intimidated and I can read that off of you as a wrestler, veteran stuff. But quick victory for Brian Keith here with the Around the World Cutter. Love seeing Slice Boogie here. Reliable talent, Caprice Indian, always killing it, giving some nice context for who Slice is and why he's important in wrestling here. But Brian Keith continuing to take over the world. I don't know if you know this, Reg, but he was number one on the BWI 500.
What's that?
It's a list that my super awesome co-host makes.
Me.
The best black talent. Oh my God, that's you.
Yeah, this episode was really good because there was a lot of friends on this. And like you said, that's how good Slice Boogie is, because if you know Slice Boogie, that man ain't scared of nobody in the world. He'll fight your mom. He'll fight your dad. He'll fight anybody. He doesn't care. But for him to be able to emote these emotions on screen just because that's the role he's here to do shows how good of a wrestler he is. I hope he gets a shot, man. I've been a fan of Slice for a long time. Just a real New York badass fool that will fight you again. Don't forget. But this was the Brian Keith showcase. I will admit, you guys, Brian Keith came out with an entrance song and I was like, what is this shit? I got online. Ruckus said that it's a stock song because there's some paperwork still happening. So fret not. Still tipping. We'll be here someday, one day. But yeah, at first I was like, what in the world? Who do I have to send a suggestion box email to, Will Washington? I just, you know. But I sat and thought about it, and I let everything develop how it did, and I'm happy about it. But no, this was awesome to see Brian Keith after getting his graphic and everybody being excited about him getting signed. Here he goes, getting a win. What a great way to kind of establish yourself in the Ring of Honor division. A couple of people have been in the chats, and you guys are right. We don't know where the champions are. I'd like to know what Brian Keith is fighting for. Why? What's his purpose here in Ring of Honor? I'd like to know what some other people's purpose is here in Ring of Honor, because we don't have any champions to show for it. But, you know, another story for another day. But I do like my guy Brian Keith coming in, getting his offense in, getting to show who he is, and getting to get some vignettes, getting to get the showcase of a wrestler that they are behind. I'm so excited about it because you guys know how I feel about Brian Keith. This is great.
Brian Keith, fantastic talent. I know there are people calling for the, like, is it Bandito, Brian Keith, Hangman trio that everybody's booking? I'm kind of in on that idea. But if you want him working ROH consistently, I like the idea of him possibly being the one to dethrone Kyle Fletcher and earning his way up there. I think that could be really, really fun. In fact, I might lay money on it, Reg. I'll tell you what. And if I needed to be educated about where I would be making bets, there's one place that I would look. And is it because they pay us money? Partly, but also they have the earliest betting odds that you can have. Lots of advantages when you use BetOnline.ag.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of. All major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
Guys, it's not just wrestling you can bet on. There's plenty of other sports too. Mm-hmm. Football's over, but baseball's coming back, baby. Mm-hmm. That's my jam. But BetOnline has been so good to us. If you are a betting person, we encourage you to use them. If you are not a betting person, we encourage you to tell them that you found out about them through us, because they made a big investment in us. It goes a long way if you guys let them know that you know about them through Fightful. But we appreciate you guys even entertaining the idea of checking them out on behalf of us. And with all the money that you're winning from BetOnline AG, because I'll tell you what, the track record, fantastic. You're going to win some dollars and you're going to spend them on FightfulSelect.com. And here's why. All the scoops you could possibly ever want. Context for the scoops that Sean doesn't get. Mm-hmm. Bonus podcasts.
Yep.
Like every day of the week. Mm-hmm. Ask Rhapsody featuring this fella. More of me with Alex mm-hmm. Pawlowski. Yep. If you're like, oh my God, I love this ROH show so much. Where can I get more? Behind the paywall at FightfulSelect.com.
Boom.
And boy, oh boy, there is some inaccuracy out there in the world. So get the accurate details. Not aggregated from anybody else, straight from the fountain. All right, good stuff. But we got a question here that's kind of, this is a fun one. LFI is adding, who would you add? Stephanie Vecchier. Listen, if they can steal Stephanie Vecchier from CMLL, oh boy, do it. She is one of the most complete women's wrestlers that is not on enough people's radars in the world. I have seen her in some incredible matches. Her tournament match against Mercedes Moné, mm-hmm. a thing of beauty, always impresses. She's going to be locking up with Willow in CMLL as well. They both are part of trios. I'm not going to talk about the other people on Willow's side. Doesn't make me very happy, but very excited to see what happens when Steph and Willow are in the ring at the same time, God willing.
Kate, why?
I don't know. Like, Tessa Blanchard just...
Why?
The track record is there. Okay, if you...
It's so visible. Just, like, Google her name. It's right there. It's going to be the first thing that comes up, probably. I don't like to root
for people's downfalls. But if I did, it would probably be the downfall of someone who said something racist, denied it, then admitted to it, then tried to profit off of it with a t-shirt, then... Yeah. Had her own rehab project, bullied her way out of that rehab project, and now should be working at the high school gyms that she was working at before instead of a major promotion. But I digress. I don't understand.
I mean, these people be booking Alberto Del Rio, Marty Skrull. They don't care about nothing.
It is true. They are consistent with how much they just will book anyone, but never like to see it. Stay away from our precious Willow, please. But I'm very excited to see Steph and Willow lock up. Very, very excited for that, because I think there's some magic that could happen. Who would I add to LFI? Man, what you got?
I don't know. It's a tough one.
I know. That's one I like need to think on. Because I also don't know enough about Luchador's flipping and spinning world to know like who's kind of associated with other things and
CMLL.
Like what the right fit is for that.
It's Mexico. They don't care. That's not true.
All right, then let's get Black Taurus in here.
Yeah, right. Easy
that would
as
actually
that.
Be really fun, honestly, because mm-hmm. of the like ring style wise, he's such a more in that like wrecking ball feel. Like Preston Vance is an LFI, you know what I mean? I don't know like what the priorities for that faction are. But sincerely, like Black Tarus was kind of the first one that came to mind just from like a stylistic perspective. I think that could be very, very fun. We saw Kenny King on tonight, right? He's been previously affiliated with LFI before. Great job by Ian pointing that out. That would be very fun if he was going to step back in the picture here. But yeah, that's a tough one and one that I would need to think on, truly.
Right.
Well, now it's time to get pissed off, Reg. Mercedes Martinez defeats Trish Adora. Martinez puts Adora in a crab submission and she taps out. That's all I have to say. What the hell are we doing? Why is she? I know Mercedes has a great submission. Like, Trish Adora tapping out shouldn't be happening. Trish Adora losing this much should not be happening. I don't think Mercedes is going to win this, so Trish Adora not getting the W. Like, you have a chance to make Trish feel like someone important here by beating Mercedes, a former champion. You have a really fun opportunity to have Mercedes get really pissed off about that and maybe cost Trish Adora the title or somewhere along the way and have a side feud with the two of them, which makes me really, really interested. Trish Adora versus Queen Aminata feels like a home run to me. Trish Adora versus Layla Hirsch in a more extended feud than the one-offs that we got feels like a win to me. I don't get what the hell we aren't doing with Trish Adora at this point. Try to be patient, getting less patient, now officially impatient. What the hell are you doing with one of the best women's wrestlers in the world and treating her like a pinfall eater after she was kind of presented as a big deal coming back from Japan? Lady Frost is nowhere to be found, and she was kind of presented as a big deal. I know not everybody can win, but why is she tapping out to Mercedes here? Just does not feel good to me at all. Like, I really think so highly of Trish Adora, and from a tournament booking perspective, unless Mercedes is going to win the whole thing, I just feel like you could have done something really special with Trish here. I don't get it. I don't like the tap out either. Should have taken more to put Trish Adora away, in my opinion. But man, it's one of the few pain points that shows up consistently week over week. We've turned so much of this product around, but what are we doing with Trish Adora, man?
It feels like the things don't match up. The way that Ian and Caprice talk about Trish, you would think that she's going to win this tournament. Like, they're like, she did all these things and she went to the train, and like, they always run down her resume and you're like, wow, this woman's great. But then she never gets the wins to kind of go along with it. So it's like, you guys are telling me that she's great, but if I don't know anything about her, all I see is on this Ring of Honor show, I'm not going to think she's great because she loses every match. Now, we know the greatness of Trish Adora and know that she can automatically bounce back, but I just want the commentary to match up to how she's being booked. Might be a lot to ask. I don't know. But beyond that, really good match. Mercedes Martinez, I think, is a contender like no other former ROH Women's World Champ. So she's been in the big seats and she could be in here again. She's one of those people, like I was talking about earlier, that like her and Athena shouldn't rehash it. So her being able to get the same kind of heat and things over here for the ROH Women's Television Championship, I think is cool. But yeah, Trish having to be the victim of this is just very unfortunate. And maybe it'll be a story that they're telling, Kate. Maybe this is the catalyst to the triumphant return of Trish or something. This is to a wider story that's being told later. That's what I would like to hope, at least.
I hate to compare talent, and I don't mean this in a bad way at all. Because Layla Hirsch is not Layla Hirsch. Who's the Layla that was in the baddies? Oh my gosh.
Layla Gray.
Layla Gray. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very new to this game, mm-hmm. has a ton of upside in her presentation and the way that she's able to play roles. And the appeal of her is very obvious when she is around the ring. Right. But like, I feel like her and Trish Adora are treated almost the same. I guess we haven't really seen Layla Gray around very much, but like, it feels like they were put in the same role in ROH, and Trisha Dora like went to the New Japan Dojo, you know what I mean? Like, and has one of the best bridging German suplexes of anyone I've ever seen. So it's very frustrating to me when a talent that great feels like they are not being established in a way that is representative of their ceiling and not even close. But that's just me being cranky for now. We'll move on to things that make me happier. We get Lance Archer and the Righteous versus John Cruz, JC Valentine, and James Blackheart. This was an obvious win. I feel like maybe it shouldn't have taken so much for Lance Archer and the Righteous to put these guys away, because I feel like they're a really, really badass trio. And with like John Cruz and people we don't really know are as regulars in ROH, we probably shouldn't be taking kind of like more than a couple minutes really here. But I did like that John Cruz was managing to get some momentum against Vincent, because it's the one guy in the match that realistically, like size-wise, wouldn't take as much. But Dutch tags in, slams the momentum to a screeching halt here. Lance Archer and the Righteous hit their finishers in succession, and that is what this win was here. I said online that I felt like I would rather see, if I could choose anything in the world, if it's John Cruz, Serpentico Bendejo, or if it's an option to have Cheeseburger, Eli Isom, LSG, maybe some people from that crop who would be affordable appearance contracts rather than different versions of these guys, the same guy rolled out. That would be my preference. Then Serpentico tweeted at me and assured me that there is only one Serpentico. So yep. He did say those were three great names, which I felt very validated in. But mm-hmm. I would say I'd rather have talent like that kick it around, putting on great matches in places like that than... Because we've seen this, right? We've seen guys that are like backstage producers getting reps.
Yeah.
Like you have a very, very loaded roster. If you're telling me it's so thin that you need to be using people under different aliases this often, like I feel like that's wrong. So you should either plug and play with other people or let's get some of that crew back. That would be really cool to me. But that's my only nitpick here is just that I would love to see some fresher faces rather than like two guys and John Cruz.
Totally. It's I'll shoot him a little bit of bail. It's like guys are, it's easier to put him in there than to fly a wrestler out or to do all that. So it's like, we need 10 wrestlers or blah, blah, blah. Well, he's here. Just put him in there. That's probably how it usually works over here. So that's all the bail that I'm going to shoot them. This shows booking inconsistencies because on another show, Lance Archer would have squashed all three of these guys in 5 seconds. So why can't you beat them with two other guys that are killers? So it was just like, I don't really know what you guys are doing here. If they are going to wherever in the world that those trios championships are, be a contender for those, I'm in. But if this is just getting them on the show to beat some losers up, I'm not in. I'm out.
Yeah, that's a little just weird. You're right. Inconsistent of what the in-ring is a good way to put it, because they've smooshed other teams with more reputability than this, I think. Is reputability a word? If not, it should be. And I just it made not. It up. Mm-hmm. Posting. Guys, feel free to get in your super chats if there's anything that you want to chat about. We are actually coming in at a reasonable time, so we might have a couple minutes to play with, which is almost upsetting considering how much I talk. But also, please leave a thumbs up on this video if you would be so kind. It definitely helps us out, especially on this particular show. It helps us out all the time, but with ROH and TNA, especially. Speaking of which, Joel Pearl will be coming in here and Cresta Starr will be joining him to talk some TNA. Great interview with Steve Backlund that dropped earlier today from Joel. And on top of that, they've got a lot to talk about with the Scott D'Amore situation. It sounds like Fightful Select broke the news earlier today that a letter from several talent, not all talent, but several talent, was written on behalf of them and written to Anthem about the departure of Scott D'Amore and them just voicing their frustrations about that, it sounds like. So not a lot of context for it, but it is on FightfulSelect.com if you wanted to check it out. But I'm sure they'll have thoughts on that as well. But we've got dejected Dalton Castle and the boys coming out against Kenny King returning to this brand very cool to usher him into this era of Ring of Honor. This ends with one of my favorite bangarangs that has ever been done because of the shot that was filmed. You had Dalton giving the bangarang to Kenny King and the boys just spinning around with him in succession, which they've done before, but the wide shot looked so good. But unfortunately, Dalton's just dejected this whole time. He comes down the ramp and his cape is just off to the side. Mm-hmm. His facial hair is not like very kempt right now. Relatable, honestly. Like, I get it. That's how I have felt, you know? I had COVID at the beginning of the year, coming out of it. This was kind of what I looked like. I wasn't looking great. We have some fun post-match here, too, with Johnny TV, who comes down, and him and Taya do some jaw-jocking and finally reveal what it's going to take for Dalton to get his match. And what they want is the boys, kind of as we suspected, Reg.
Yep.
Love this angle. Also very smooth by Ian Riccaboni to be like, what do they want with the boys? Does it have to do with their new show, Johnny Loves Taya, that you can get? Very smooth. We see you, Ian, getting your plugs in all into kayfabe. I like it. But fun match. Great to see Kenny King back, an LFI previous affiliate. So maybe there's something brewing there, but really, really like what we're getting as this story continues to roll down the hill. But that bangarang with the boys in sync with him just absolutely pops me.
Yeah, this might have been my favorite thing on the show, honestly, just from a finally standpoint. Kenny King is ROH through and through. I've been so upset that he hasn't been here to represent in the new Honor Club generation of Ring of Honor. So him being here made me so happy. When I saw the graphic yesterday, it just brightened my day up, and he got a good showing here. It was in Henderson, which is close to Vegas, so he's from Vegas. He got a good ovation here. Had a really good match with Dalton Castle, even though Dalton Castle is so depressed. He can barely put his gear on. He could barely walk. He could barely talk. But he ended up getting the victory here. But yeah, I thought Kenny King had a good showing. That was the best part of the show for me, and I hope that he is brought back because he legit is a great hand in every aspect of the way here. He could be a producer, he could be a wrestler, he could just do anything in the things. And I think he would add so much more to Ring of Honor in all aspects. We love Kenny King over here. That's what it's all about. But yeah, Kate, we're finally getting here. Dalton Castle and Johnny TV are coming to a head. It's finally gonna happen, and the boys are in danger. And they, we're not surprised, because of course.
In this game.
Yeah, what a time. Cool. What a time. But yeah, I think that adds it another funny element. I'm sure that whole thing of if he does get the boys and he goes with them, the Johnny TV extras that we'll get out of it. Really good stuff here. And maybe we'll finally get Dalton out of this funk that he's been in, because it's been depressing, Kate, for all of us.
It's honestly such a win-win for me, because I feel like if Johnny TV wins, like, this downtrodden Dalton Castle is going to be apoplectic. And I want to see what the rest of that spiral might look like as he's trying to win the boys back. I feel like that could buy you another month and a half of programming if you wanted it to. That could end up being a really fun pay-per-view match.
Yeah.
But I also love the idea of Dalton just successfully defending and getting to keep his boys. Johnny TV would be so flummoxed. But, like, this very short program of Johnny TV and Taya and the boys being like a weird stable, like the boys TV or whatever, like what that could lead to could be so much fun. So absolutely loving this. And a Dalton Castle who has completely lost it could be a very fun thing to see. But we move along to our main event, which is Diamante versus Kiera Hogan. Yes. Love to see women main eventing. Love that it's not just Athena main eventing too. Like, we're getting some really fresh stuff for the women's division here. And a really, really, really fun match. Now, this was hard hitting. It was intense. It was explosive. The storytelling was great. Kiera Hogan, I think, is shining more and more in every single appearance that she has. There was this moment where Diamante just reacted and was so stunned by some offense that Kiera Hogan got in. I think just like elbows. And she just kind of looked at her like, the hell did that come from? Like, really, really, really fun in-ring reactions tonight. But Diamante winning with a swinging neck breaker, That's what it was. It was a back elbow. I thought that was in my notes somewhere. It was this back elbow that Hogan hit, and Diamante was just like stunned and pissed off. It was a really fun spot. But also in this match, Diamante assuring Hogan that this was going to hurt her more than it would Diamante. Just really, really like cute in-ring storytelling. Loved, loved, loved this. There was a Hogan was put in the Diamante putting Hogan in the corner for shoulder to the midsection was just like, ugh, some nasty, nasty work in this. But this was a really fun main event. It felt main eventy because of the way they just ratcheted up the intensity. Adored that. But to your point earlier, what I loved about this episode was how different all four of the women's matches felt. It's awesome to see that kind of diversity on matches that all have the same stakes, essentially. Yes. Some new faces that we hadn't seen in that first one. Some really great technical storytelling in the second one. Way more intense than I anticipated main event here. Just really, really fun. Your thoughts on our main event tonight?
Yeah, I thought this was a really strong way to end the episode, kind of with this built-in story. We all know about Kira and Diamante. They have history, some would say. So you know that before this match they were like, hey, we're going out there, no plan today, and they both were not playing today. They were both throwing everything that they have, trying to end their partner, the end their person in the ring and get the victory. I thought that Kira looked great with her in the corner boots and butts. I thought that Diamante is on I don't know if they're on a trajectory of her and Mercedes maybe locking up, but they're two strong women in this that are going to be tough to beat. Diamante trying to establish herself as a contender, I think is cool, because remember for a while when we started the show, you were like, where's Diamante? With Diamante, big Diamante fan. And she's here now, and she's a contender, and she's having really fun matches with Kira. I thought that this was a great way to end the show, a strong women's representation. And she's one that I would not be surprised if she won this.
Yeah, I could see that too. There's fun things that you could see happening when you look at the world title picture for the women and then this TV title of like, it would be really cool to have Athena and Queen Aminata. It would be cool to have Queen Aminata dethrone Athena and have Diamante or whatever. Or Taya and Athena feels like a fun combo. Like you can kind of play with these a little bit. So I really like the possibilities that this TV tournament is producing for us, and continues to be a fun thing since they announced this title. It's been something we were building to, and now it's like underway properly. Love it. Love to see it. Love women's wrestling on Thursday nights. And that continues into TNA, always one of the strongest women's divisions out there. But we've got another super chat from Meet Normus, who's always so supportive of us. Thank you, Meet Normus. Thanks, saying, mate. Will Dalton Castle actually finish the story and get to smash Johnny TV's face, or will he continue to spiral into Luther's role with Timeless Tony Storm? I've been begging for some interactions with Dalton and Timeless Tony. I just feel like, God, they're such a match made in heaven. And you don't even really have to pivot that hard.
No.
It's such a home run. And I fear that Toni Storm might be working her way back to normalcy sooner than later. So I need them to capitalize on this while they can. But what a blast. Like that, we have these two very character heavy staples on both shows. And I love that Dalton is so over in a presentation that feels so sports-based otherwise. Like, it's fun to have oddballs when the whole sea isn't oddballs, in my opinion. So, like, I really appreciate that. What are your thoughts on Dalton? Do you have a preference on him spiraling into the Tony Storm picture, or do you want to see him win here? I kind of want them to extend this feud, honestly. Like, him and Johnny have been so much fun, and I feel like it wouldn't overstay its welcome with the possibilities that are there.
I like this idea of him continuously spiraling, because like this would be the perfect way to kind of do it. He's already in this depressive state. If it just continued, he runs into Tony Storm and somehow they do something together. I think that's an amazing idea and it could be some great content. But yeah, I kind of feel like the same thing for you. I think like, let's maybe stretch this out to Supercard of Honor, man, because they've earned it just with the weekly things they've been doing on this. I mean, we saw Johnny TV do the splits and be dragged away. Like, you deserve something for this, dude. And a match at Supercard of Honor is the way. Like, we can extend this thing just so both of these guys get a really big payoff, because a match on, just a regular match on Honor Club isn't enough for what these guys have been doing. It's kind of like the Starks and Athena story that was being told. It's like, well, these women have been killing it. We need to like pay it off in a big way, like make it the main event of the show. They need something like this, like let's extend it, or let's have a big hoopla or something that shows you that this is an important feud. Both guys have been amazing in all of it, though, regardless.
I was so frustrated that Dalton didn't win the TV title, and this coming out of it has been awesome. Like, yeah, what a fun way to go. And I do feel like you kind of want Brian Keith to maybe be next one up. Like, he's white hot right now. Maybe like capitalize on how that feels for a TV title win. Him and Kyle Fletcher, I think, could do some really fun work. But before we hand it over to the TNA crew, one of which is waiting in the background fixing his hair with his comb, we got a couple of minutes here that we can chat about some things. So I actually really liked tonight's episode of Ring of Honor, but there is an elephant in the room, which is that there are no champions again. Maddening. I got to say, the frustration carries over to me on AEW, because it seems like the multi-man pictures on both of these programs is something that has been lost in the shuffle. Honestly, it doesn't feel... I was so excited when the Kingdom won, because I felt like they were going to be back around. Now, they have been more than our other tag team champions, as in, like, ever. But... you know, you've got the six-man belts being carried around by Bullet Club Gold, and we don't see them around here. Eddie Kingston's not around right now. Kyle Fletcher was not around today. Still felt like there was a lot of important stuff on the episode because of the tournament, but, like, we had our champions around, and then they took them away from us again, Reg. Did that hurt your viewing of the show tonight?
I think no, because of the importance of the TV title tournament. I think it's like... in this case, this is the only time where I'm going to be like, okay, it's not that bad that there wasn't champions, because they're trying to establish a new champion, and kind of them being the focal point of it, I think it's a great idea. And Athena was here, but she wasn't, you know, she wasn't defending her championship, but she was here representing as the forever ROH Women's Champion and the MVP of Ring of Honor. So there was some representation, but it does get frustrating. This, we consistently have to deal with this, Kate, of an ROH wrestler winning the belt and then, I mean, an AEW wrestler winning an ROH belt and then taking the belt hostage and never seeing him again on Ring of Honor TV. It's like, well, what's the point of that? I don't really understand. It feels like they're going to merge these belts, so that's something, but I don't know. It's not looking too good. We need to get back to it. Our ROH tag champ did have an amazing main event last night, though, so that's something.
There you go. It is true, and they've got Rocky Romero around, so if there's someone who knows how to help out with a brand that has too many belts, there's a guy who has experience with that exact pain point in Rocky Romero that broke earlier this week. I think it was reported by Observer as confirmed by Fightful Select. So very happy that Rocky Romero is in the fold. And I'm intrigued to see what his position is, because he's so instrumental throughout the wrestling landscape. And
his
one thing
position
I would
is
like
Rocky Romero.
The position is Rocky Romero, title Rocky Romero. Or retired wrestler, like the WWE documentary had him listed. My God. Weird. But I would love to see crossover between New Japan Strong and ROH. So Rocky being around, maybe we get that. Because I'll tell you what, Anthony Henry put out that he wanted to fight Shingo Takagi. And I was like, I need that. I need that immediately. So but we are going to bring in the TNA crew. We are remarkably done on time, even before time. A wild situation tonight. But TNA... lots of stuff going on over there.
Did you guys, Joel and Cresta, did y'all sign the petition to get Scott back?
No, we were the ones who wrote the letter, clearly.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, I penned it.
We did the third and fourth draft, and then the final one went through the talent, and then that's how it went.
Nice.
Breaking news here. So
tell the world.
What is going on over there, you guys? It's a crazy TNA is just like, they had this resurgence, pun intended, like all these things are happening in a good way. And then these wild stuff just start happening out of nowhere. It's like, this isn't what we wanted. We were having a good time over here.
I have to quote my little brother. when I told him about this, he said, this is a very TNA thing to happen.
That's
TNA.
The thing, though, Cresta. It's just like, this is so TNA.
On brand. They rebranded and we're like, we are going back to our old ways right now.
Like, you guys wanted TNA,
we were going
here
back. We meant it. Joel kept saying, we're not getting a six-sided rings back, but they said, hey, we're getting everything else, baby.
Some of those talent have walked back that answer about not wanting a six-sided ring.
Really?
Jordynne Grace told, I think Jordynne either told Sean or Denise that she would be open to having it not as a full-time, but as like a gimmick if they did a few gimmick matches.
Oh, yeah.
She would be cool with that.
You know, but
I was just like, no, go back to not wanting it. Because also, like, if you do a six-sided ring, you got to do a full show because you're going to bring a six-sided ring in for just one match. Can't do that.
A war games match with one six-sided ring and one night only shows.
Well, it's like, yeah, you could do it like that. But also, like, I'm thinking back to like SummerSlam 1998 when they did the Lion's Den match and you had to do. The Lion's Den was like in a separate theater in Madison Square Garden and they filled up that theater. And like, sure, you could do that, but like TNA is not 1998 WWF. So
you could also not do that, which is a better option in that situation. But Joel, I did plug your interview with Steve Macklin. It upsettingly sounds like you guys might have buried the hatchet a little bit. So that
was my
feeling.
Now. But yeah, we're besties.
Yeah, that's gross.
Well, they fired us. Joel's dad, Scott D'Amore. So I think there's solidarity. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
You know what? I like that.
A job when we spoke, so we got that going for us.
Joel's dad, I'm dead.
Every week there's a picture of Joel side by side with Scott D'Amore. Have you ever seen them in the same room? Somebody on Twitter said, you ever seen Joel and Joel Gacy in the same room? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
Listen, I think Joel's the hardest working man in wrestling because he also is Scott D'Amore and he's also Joe Gacy on NXT.
Busy
fella. Joel's the forbidden door all this time. But
listen, you guys want a big scoop? You want a big scoop? Okay.
Yes.
You know how Scott D'Amore brought a banknote to Anthem, was like, I'm gonna buy this thing if y'all want me to. Mm-hmm. I heard it was from the Bank of Mercedes.
Oh wow, Joel, give away the business.
Hold
what
on
scumbag.
A minute, dude. $5 for this, Joel. You can't just be giving them out for free like this.
That's not really don't run with that. That would be just awful. No really
aggregators. Knock it off immediately. Stop.
I've had enough people do weird things on our ITW show. I don't want to
as a woman on the internet.
He said here.
I'm gonna start getting messages from like from TNA staff. Like, what the fuck you talking about?
Yeah, why'd you say that?
Like, for the jokes, people. It's for the jokes.
You want scoops? Go watch Sean Ross Sapp. If you want yuck yucks, watch this.
That's right.
You know, Kate, you have to do an interview with Serpentico now that he's called you out.
That's true.
I know Serpentico and only Serpentico, definitely not also John Cruz and on occasional Bendejo.
No, leave those guys at home.
Different people. Also, never ask him when his last victory was because he will know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did that once in an interview and he actually knew.
That's the sore subject.
Yeah, he was like, I beat Barry Morales and it was June. Da, da, da. I was like, holy shit, it's in my notes. You actually hit it right on the head. So good for him.
People know, they remember those wins and losses matter at ROH. So mm-hmm. There you go.
This was in AEW. That makes it even worse.
Oh my gosh. Pre-rankings, post-rankings?
This is 2022, so rankings were in effect.
Wow. There you go. So he should know them. But we will turn it over to you guys. Thank you so much for hopping in here, talking some TNA.
TNA.
Have a wonderful show.
Thanks.
Bye.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.